Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we are so thankful for Star Words. We're thankful for what they mean for us and for how they challenge us to be more like what you want us to be. And Lord, we pray to be open to some other Star Words that come to us through your words of Scripture. And so we pray to be open to what they teach us about the ways that we are to live our lives in faithful obedience to you. We ask all these prayers through your Son's name. Amen. We've been reading through the stories of the early part of Israel when they were ruled by kings. We have heard about Saul being their first king and then David being their second king. Reading through these stories over the past several weeks has certainly put David in a different light for me personally. You know, David's always been one who's seen as a hero in the Bible. Under David as king, Israel has prospered. This was their time in the region when they were the strongest they ever have been in their history. And David accumulated quite a bit of wealth personally and for the nation while he was their ruler. Now, most of the Psalms are attributed to David, although it's highly unlikely that he wrote many of them, if any of them, actually. The Psalms that, like what we began worship in, were words that were written to be part of music in worship in Israel's early history, or to be read, as we did when we began worship today using those words. Now, over the past couple of weeks, we have been reading stories which has basically been the beginning of David's demise, his downfall. Now, we've read stories of rapes committed by David and by his son, and how he treated a woman named Michal, and how she risked her life for him, but yet he discarded her after she helped to save his life. We read of how David tried to cover up his violence as well as his son's violence, even to the point of having somebody murdered to cover up his behavior, his predatory behavior. Now, as I have read these stories about David and as I have read the stories that we're going to be dipping into this morning, David to me has become starting to see him as a very complicated but also a very tragic figure. For David, under David's leadership, like I said, David, Israel achieved so very much, but yet he and his sons committed some very atrocious acts, especially against innocent women. Today, we're going to hear more of the sad story of David's family. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we addressed the rape that David's son Amnon committed against his sister Tamar. When David found out about his daughter being raped, he participated in a cover-up because Amnon was his oldest son, and he wanted to protect his oldest son. But Absalom, another of David's sons, was appalled at this all happening and actually had his brother killed. Now, what happens next is the continuing saga of this tragedy and tragedy in this family. For Absalom ends up losing respect for his dad, David, and the way that David reacted to the violence against his sister, Tamar. In fact, Absalom ends up sitting on the edges of the town and starts complaining about his dad as king. And anyone who will listen, Absalom is out there saying about David as king that he's not a very good king, that he is not passing very good judgment. And Absalom says, if I was king, this is what I would be doing that would be different than what David is doing as king. Well, eventually, Absalom decides he doesn't want to wait around for his dad, David, to die before he takes over as king. So Absalom then leaves and goes to the city of Hebron, where he establishes himself as a king. Well, he raises up an army and gets so strong that David feels scared and intimidated, and actually David flees Jerusalem because he is fearful of the power that Absalom is obtaining. Well, eventually, Absalom's soldiers and David's soldiers head into battle against each other, and David's soldiers end up killing 20,000 of Absalom's soldiers. But then, in kind of a strange part of the story, Absalom is described as riding along in the countryside along a mule, and Absalom had his hair, which he was apparently gorgeous hair that he was very proud of, and his hair gets stuck in a tree, and so he ends up dangling from this tree after his mule continues walking along. And so Absalom is hanging between life and death by his hair under this tree. Well, one of the instructions that David had given to his soldiers when they went into battle with Absalom's army was that they could not kill Absalom. But then Joab, one of David's military leaders, finds Absalom hanging from this tree and stabs him and kills him from this tree. So the text that we're going to be reading right now is when David gets word that his son Absalom has died. So let us listen to 2 Samuel chapter 18, verses 31 through 33. Now, I alluded to Jeopardy a week or two ago. This reading was actually a final Jeopardy answer at one of the Jeopardy episodes. So if nothing more, this is a good passage to remember for trivia. So
Second Samuel 18, verses 31 through 33. And behold, the Cushite came, and the Cushite said, "Good tidings for my lord the king. For the Lord has delivered you this day from the power of all those who rose up against you." The king said to the Cushite, "Is it well with the young man Absalom?" And the Cushite answered, "May the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up against you for evil be like that young man." And the king was deeply moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom. Would I have died instead of you, O Absalom, my son, my son." This is the word of the Lord.
So David gets word from this Cushite, which is actually modern-day Ethiopia. So he expresses great tears when he receives word of his death of his son. So the question is David shedding these tears because of the death of his son, Absalom, or is he shedding these tears because of the death of his kingdom, the end of what he had built up? Or is he shedding tears for both? Both the death of his son and also the death of all that he had built up. This is another of those passages of Scripture which is difficult to read and to try to garner some good news from. But I wonder if maybe if this is one of those stories, some Scripture which is there for us to read and say, you know what? I know that story. I know that story as well. I know a story of somebody who had a lot and squandered it away. I know the story of somebody who was victimized by somebody in power. You know, this period of Israel's history is seen as their glory years. But as we read these biblical stories, we realize that the glory years are not so glorious for everyone. There's actually another story of rape from David's family that I haven't even mentioned yet. Because after David flees his palace because of Absalom, he leaves behind 10 women there to tend to the palace. They are part of his concubines or his sex slaves. So when Absalom comes upon these women, he rapes them as a sign of power over David. Absalom did this in front of all of Israel, according to the text. So these glory years were not so glorious to the women who were victimized. Women not given names in the Bible are given voices to speak to their trauma. Much like the many women who have lived on these lands that we enjoy, who were also victimized, but yet given no voice to speak to their trauma. People we may refer to as natives or enslaved. Now, we know these types of stories today as well. You know, the stories of women who were inappropriately touched or abused by powerful men. We've certainly heard that story lately. Who felt they could say nothing. The stories of young people or others who have been abused by church leaders but told, shh, don't tell anybody. But others of us know stories of people who had so much, but yet squandered it away. The friend or family member with the addiction problem. The person who reached success, but then their own greed caused them to get involved with some illegal activity that caused them to lose it all. Or maybe that friend or family member with that perfect marriage that ran away with the girlfriend or the boyfriend and found out it wasn't so greener after all. Maybe these are the stories of our family and friends, or maybe these are our stories. Maybe we can learn from David's story is to not look upon the lives of someone else and say, you know what, I wish my life was like that person. Because maybe when they're at their peak is the beginning of their demise. David and his family, at its core, is a story of tragedy. It's a story where they had so much, but yet lost it all. But maybe today we can hold up this story and see this as our story as well. That if our story includes being victimized, that we're not alone, because there are people in the Bible who are victimized as well. That if our story is a story of loss and tragedy, that there are biblical stories that mirror our story. That there are the people in the Bible that had it all and lost it all. And so by looking at their stories, we don't feel so alone in our story. Some stories in the Bible are there to teach us that our struggles are real, but that we're not alone, that others have been there just like we have. Last week, we got to see play out in front of the international community what it looks like to be so talented but yet struggle in the moment. We saw the weight of pressure come down on the greatest gymnast of our lifetime, Simone Biles, GOAT, greatest of all time. But we also witnessed her getting back on the balance beam and earning a medal and overcoming her fear as an inspiration to all of us about overcoming our fears. We are not alone in our struggles. And when we are being church, as we are called to being church, then we are companions with one another in our journeys. Thanks be to God that in our journeys, we are not alone. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen? Amen. Amen. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Loving God, these stories may be our stories or the stories of people close to us, people we know, or maybe it's us, who have felt being the victim, or people who have seen what we had and lost it all. or people close to us. So we pray, dear Lord, as we hear these stories, that they speak to us and give us hope for our stories, that we are not alone, that we journey together and move forward. We ask all these prayers through your Son's name. Amen.